Welcome to episode 20 of the Sunday Robcast, sponsored by Batlure Clothing, Feed Baron and Twice Buried Rum. Today I've got the long-term servant of Huntly, Alex Stoyers. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, bad, mate. You?
Yeah, good. You nervous?
Aye, I'm pretty nervous. Should have given me a couple of pints.
Jesus, Alan Hill would have me. I was saying, we're obviously at your house today. Take it, a lot of people that come in at this time of night don't leave the time I'll be leaving, do they?
I use a lock-in.
How you getting on? How was Christmas now, alright?
Really good.
Yeah, boys, the kids. A lot of people that listen probably know that you work offshore, but how do you find it, obviously, the offshore, not just in football, but just in life, missing Christmases and stuff like that?
It's a killer. I mean, you miss a lot, especially during the year as well, kind of weddings, birthdays. So, fuck that trip. I missed my mum, my dad's, and my sister-in-law's 30th, all in 1 week, so.
God, did you home for all of Christmas, though?
I got home here at Christmas. I was here, I think, 21st. So, I mean, as long as I got Christmas. But
Is that the hardest part for you, Christmas?
Ah, that would be the hardest time of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, I do put holidays in, but it isn't a guarantee that you can get them off.
Yeah.
People do get a shout to go if required. Yeah.
So, some people know the story, some people don't. But I want to start with it. And I know you're giggling already. The first time we met.
Oh, mate. I'm actually going to hold you part of blame for this, but I think you gave me the fucking wrong address.
No chance.
No, but I'll cut it down. So I get over to the house, that which I thought was obviously yours. I knocks on the door. And I mean, what's the chances that the young lad answered the door and I didn't know what to say. All right, it's Goose here. So I did think you stayed on your own as well. And I was thinking, who's this dude like? And I was like, oh, here. And I like totally crumbled. And I was like, oh, here, is he Robbie? And he was like, yeah, just come through the back. And I was like, fuck, through the back? And I was like, maybe he's got it set up in his garage or something for your massage, obviously. And anyway, he gets in and he says, in you come. So I'm sitting there and there's this kid that must have been about 10 years old or something. And then I hears all this music and piano playing and I'm thinking, like, what's going on here? So I've sat in the chair that he says that, oh, Robbie will be 2 minutes. So I'm thinking, oh, it's maybe your dad playing some musical instrument, something. You know, fuck's going on with Robbie? So the next thing, must have been 5 minutes been by. And I thought, nah, something's wrong here. Like, so there was like a window in the door. So I peeked my head through. And it was some kid getting a lesson for this boy, which is obviously called Robbie. And he'd clocked me looking through. So the next thing I see is weird look in his face. And he's thinking, obviously thinking, how the fuck's that my use? So he kind of stopped the lesson. He kept shooting. He's like, oh, all right, can I help you? And I was like, oh, I'm here to see Robbie. And he was like, Robbie, you? I was like, Robbie Wild Goose. He's like, I ain't you got a wrong goose, mate. I was like, you're fucking kidding me. Anyway, I had to walk past this other kid and I was thinking, oh my god, that's obviously when I phoned you thinking, Robbie, you've got the wrong address. So I know that was
unbelievable.
Oh man.
Same as I always do, everyone kind of go back to the start of it. It was kind of football from the start for you, is it? But there was also other sports as well.
It was football. I mean, football was ever since I was a kid. I mean, that was.
Did your dad play or anything?
Yeah, my dad played. Okay. All my dad's side of the family kind of played. So I mean, it was kind of drilled to me for day one for my dad, really. But no, ever going, obviously I can't remember, but like what my parents says, ever since I was a kid, I picked up a ball and that was all I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I'll speak about it in a bit, but running came. I was quite good at cross country and athletics running. That kind of came later. I think it was about 12. I was about 12, 13.
Yeah.
That kind of came on at the scene.
So it was football first and then the running came.
Football was first. I mean, like I say, I think my mum and dad kind of seen it. I obviously loved football.
Yeah.
I think they put me to, it was like Albion Boys Club.
Okay.
Which was like under sevens kind of thing, you know. I mean, you can yourself, it was like kick a boot in a gym hall kind of thing. It was actually with Kenny Black.
Okay.
And so I went there, I think that was like under sevens, but I mean, I can't remember.
No.
Probably really anything.
Yeah.
And then I think I had a spell there for about a season. Then we must have moved to Sheroxley around about that age, okay. 8, 9. So then I played for Sheroxley. But again, it was kind of like a kick about in the grass kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so I never really played juvenile football as such.
Yeah.
Because it was mere school football.
Yeah.
And I got noticed from Aberdeen at an early age.
Yeah.
So I was 9.
Okay.
So.
Can you remember who that was at Aberdeen?
It was.
Lenny Taylor, no?
No, it was an old lad, Bill.
Okay.
He's, I can't remember, he said to me, that'll annoy me, but it was a lad, Bill, and I went in as my first coach. I think it was Brian Patterson.
Okay.
It was Brian Patterson, and then a lad that's actually still there, actually, Mark Emsley.
Okay.
He's still actually involved at Aberdeen. I think, I'm sure he's involved in kit launching or something.
Okay.
But Mark Emsley, he was my coach there. I think he was under 10s. So I think he kind of kicked off for there. But like I say, I was at Aberdeen from 9 till I was about 16.
Yeah.
So I kind of skipped playing my pals, but like, kit. I mean, I played school football, so that was where I got all my
the fun stuff.
I enjoyed it, and that's probably where I got noticed from Aberdeen. It would have been through my school football.
I've always wondered, like, with football, obviously, when you're playing for Aberdeen from 9 till 16, you've probably got that in your mind that being a professional is there.
Yeah.
See, because it's in a club setup where it is obviously very professional, is it enjoyable?
Because
obviously you can't compare it to boys club and stuff, but
yeah,
is there that level of, because I find it hard that it can be that fun, because obviously at the end of the day, these coaches are trying to make boys professionals.
Yeah.
They need as much professionals out of that as they can. So is it as fun as it would be?
I think it's quite a good point actually, because see, when I played for my school, it was a lot more relaxed.
Yeah.
And
you can enjoy it. You can express yourself more.
Yeah, but I wouldn't lie, when you're at a club like Aberdeen, I mean, you're training 3 times a week. And
aye, even at 9, 10 years old?
I'm sure it was. I mean, maybe when I first went in, it was twice a week, I think, maybe. But I think as early as 11, 12, you're in 3 times a week. And it was a Monday, Tuesday and a Friday night. So it was like kind of conclude your weekend, so then you had a game on a Sunday.
Okay.
So When you played, even in training, it was really strict.
Yeah.
I mean, Chick McClelland was the head of youth development at my time.
I thought Chick would have been involved.
I actually handled it quite well, but I mean, I've seen boys crying and roaring and greeting, and the parents did too hard.
Yeah, because it would put you off.
Oh, it does. But, and I think, like, you did miss a lot. I mean, because it was youth development leagues, so, I mean, it wasn't like as a league table as such,
yeah.
And you never played in like cups and stuff. So
just,
I remember all my mates at boys club level. Not that I wanted to play at boys club level, but I kind of wanted to hear like that, like winning leagues or winning cups and stuff. Yeah. Which, because I mean, we played in the International Football Festival.
Okay.
We got that, I think it was like under 12s and 14s. I think it was.
Was that still when it was at Seton
Park? We won it both times.
And, okay.
Like, I mean, I hardly ever won anything with Aberdeen. It was because, like I say, we didn't play in cups, but we won that. And honestly, what a buzz it was.
Feeling, yeah.
Came winning a cup final. And I think.
Do you remember playing against anyone good at that festival?
No.
Because I remember my mate Chris Downing would have been my age, so 2 years below you. And he played for Dice at that festival, I think. And I remember watching him against Goodwillie for United. So I was wondering if that was similar sort of.
There probably was.
But
at that age, I never really picked up. I mean, to be honest with you, even through my whole like youth development career, I kind of remember anyone that I played against, like yourself, Rangers, that actually went on
to do proper.
When you're a kid, it's just one of those things you can't kind of go play. You don't really take any of that into context when you're younger, but no. Kind of is. There's a lot more pressure to your question. There's a lot more pressure playing at Aberdeen. I'm not saying doesn't take the fun away if it, because I mean that's where you want to be and that's where you want to play.
Yeah.
I mean when you go to play against Rangers, Celtic and Dundee United and all these teams, it's amazing.
Still Celtic and Rangers. Yeah,
it's brilliant. And as a kid, it's kind of like, this is magic. But yeah. No, I think when you play for the school, when I did go and play for the school, it was just like kicking about with your mates and kind of beat up at times.
You kind of mentioned that you were at Aberdeen until you were like 16. When that came, did you leave or were you released or how did it?
Well, it was kind of, I was going to get released.
Okay.
But I left 3 games into the season.
Okay, because you knew it wasn't going
well. I knew it wasn't really going well. And it was under Ricky Cheen, which Ricky ended up back at Huntley stuff. Top lad. Ricky's got a great lot of type of Ricky. But it was like when I was younger, I played every week for like age of 9 to like, I think I first started getting dropped when we went over to Ireland. And I think it was must have been about 15. Sure, it was about 15 or just turning 16. Any, whatever age it was that summer. Kind of went over to Ireland to play in the Foyle Cup.
Okay.
And it was a great experience as well.
Yeah, of course.
I was 12, but that was the second time I went over. And I'm still pretty small just now, but I've always been small. And as a kid, I was even smaller compared to like people my age. And I think when I went over to Ireland, I didn't really play.
Okay.
I was like, kind of was on a bench and I kind of thought, like, fuck, this was a bit of a shock to me because, like I say, all the previous years I played all the time. I was always right midfield, but I mean, it get rotated a little bit, but when it hit that summer, we took in a couple of lads for Ireland on trial and then usually used to take all the Glasgow boys in and stuff to make it one big group and they came in and don't get me wrong, they were all a lot more mature, taller, stronger than me at 15, 16. And went over there and honestly hardly kicked the ball. I came on off the bench a couple of times.
Just not enjoyable.
And I knew that that was kind of the, I thought, right, my time's kind of maybe numbered here. But then I went into the season and I cut on it. I think it was 3 games in, but it'd been weeks of this and weeks. My dad was always pretty level with me. He was kind of, he used to kind of like tell me where I was and stuff. And kind of used to, I mean, every kid's got a dream of going on and playing. Yeah. But my dad tried to keep my feet on the ground. He kind of used to say for even like maybe 14, 15, that listen, Ken, you are small. Aberdeen's near be all and end all. And he kind of like told me where this situation was kind of going. And then I did run in at that point as well, so kind of made the decision that I'm gonna come away.
Yeah, yeah.
I spoke to Aberdeen, the Chip McClelland and Ricky Cheen. I went in and spoke to them, and they said that they could try and give me more game time, and I gave it a shot for a couple more weeks. It didn't happen, and then I just made the decision that it wasn't for me, and I was going to move on, and that was kind of the end of it.
So like, I've got down here that you went to Glentanner, but you didn't go straight away, did you?
No, I parked it. I mean, I went to that. I finished that season with my mates at Sherrixley.
Okay.
Probably like 3/4 of a season.
Right.
I played that season with Sherrixley, played with my mates, and then I just parked in football.
So completely.
Totally parked in. God, I must have been for about 2.5 years.
Jesus, that one.
I know. Yeah, I totally parked it in.
Was that just? Do you think that was down to the coming away from Aberdeen, or was it just the football just wasn't?
No, it was really just. There? It was just that.
Is that when you started working and stuff?
No, that's when I did my running.
Okay.
And I kind of when I was at Aberdeen, it was kind of like I remember when I was about 14 there at Aberdeen. I went on, I'll speak about the running when I started and stuff like that, but when I must have been about 13, 14, the Aberdeen kind of pulled me aside and it was like, right, you're training 3 times a week with football, you're playing once.
Yeah.
And at that time, I was training like 4 times a week with athletics as well, so twice a day kind of thing, like 13, 14. So then they, both sports was kind of saying for like 13, 14, right, it's time to pick.
Yeah.
And I wasn't ready to pick because I always knew that I was a better runner than I was a football player, but I'll just love to play in fact. I always wanted to give the football a shot. So then when it got to my days were numbered at Aberdeen, I was like, right, it's time to park it in and give the running a shot. And so how
kind of high or how far did you go with the running?
Well, the running was honestly a weird one. I was no one in my family. My dad was fit when he was younger. He used to see the cross country stuff. He was doing stuff, but no one in my family was involved in cross country or running, or no one used to go to there.
So you've always been kind of naturally fit.
I think so. I mean, I just thought I was naturally fit because I played football at Aberdeen.
Yeah,
you train 3 times a week, but. But we did cross country at school, like everybody does. I used to run. I used to romp it like.
Yeah.
And we got a new teacher at school, right? And she came in. She was obviously an athletics teacher at Aberdeen Athletics Club. And she came in, she's a new teacher, Nicola Crawford, and she came in about, and we did cross country, and you used to run around Hayside Golf Course.
Okay.
And honestly, loads of people used to cut the course.
Yeah, yeah.
And get in, because when I used to run around, I thought, you bastards. I'll just run the whole way. And
folks smoking your times.
So anyway, I cut in, and this... Nicola Crawford, it was Nicola Fraser at the time, she turned around and she says, she was actually going to pull me in to give me a detention because for running a course. And I says to her, I was like, listen, I didn't cut a course. I was like, I did do it properly. And she was like, there's absolutely no way that you could have done that in that time. And I was genuine. I was like, I honestly did. So she says, right, next week, what we'll do is, she said, I'll walk the course backwards and I'll come with you. She says, because the time that you just run that is like kind of like the leading time in Scotland at cross country. So I was just thinking, and once you said that, I was like, I'm going to give us a go. So I did it again. She see me thingy. So then she pulled me aside and she's like, listen, I apologise for last week. She goes, but the time that you just run that is phenomenal. Would you go to athletics at running? And I was like, no, no chance. I was like, I play football for Aberdeen.
Yeah.
And she was like, listen, you need to give us a shot. So anyway, I knocked it back. Then the school phoned my dad and my mum, and they said, listen, you need to have a word with your son.
Yeah.
He needs to try and go to this athletics club. So then mum and dad, they were on me and saying, listen, just get a go. If you go, if you don't like it,
that's it. Yeah.
Just get it. That's it. So I was like, God's sake, I was like, I'm a fucking football player. I look good running. So anyway, I went and I was like, right, I'll give it a go. And then they put me like into the lead group straight away, for the athlete in the whole club kind of thing. There was like a top group, so they put me in and I rocked up and I never had any running gear. So I'd actually a pair of Sambas. And they've all got like running Asics and stuff. And I was like, and New Balance trainers and stuff. And I had a pair of Sambas on and I was like, oh fuck, I felt a right dick. Football shorts and stuff on. And they must be thinking, who's this rocket? So I turned up and anyway, I just fucking thought, right, I'll get a bash. So I did the running and then straight after the session, they were like, listen, we've got a race this Saturday. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I was like, I play football.
Yeah.
And I was like, listen, I'm not committing to anything. And they were like, no, can the Morris persuader sent it. And the first race I ever did was, they said to me, if you finish in the top 8, you get to represent East of Scotland the following week. Well, anyway.
That's your first race?
First ever race.
Jesus.
So I ran it. And
I still be running out.
I can't remember what it was something, I think it was Livingston or something like that. I went doing around the race and I thought, right, I'll try and finish in the top 8 so I can represent East of Scotland.
Yeah.
And then anyway, I end up winning it by miles.
Winning it.
My first ever race. So then they said, you're running for East of Scotland. So I was like, right, okay. So I ran the second race and I won that. Then the third race was like it was called Inter-Counties Cross Country in Edinburgh. And it was, I thought, I'll go to that. And it was kind of like...
Were you starting to really enjoy it at that point?
I was, because I was winning races. And it was like the best in Britain, really, was there. So it was like for the inter-counties for each, for Scotland, England, Ireland, okay. Wales. And I mean, I didn't get a clue what to expect.
Yeah.
I went, because it's my third ever racing, my race, I've only done it for like 3-4 weeks. I thought, oh, fuck, can I go and get a bash? And I ended up winning it.
Fuck yeah.
So the pressure and success came instant for the running. So I was under a lot of pressure.
What sort of times were you running?
I was like for the age of 13, 14 maybe, for like a 3K, I was running like 9:30. But which and then I got up to like 8:59 by the time I was like 15. But like I was better at the cross country than I was the track.
Okay.
But I mean I was like 7-time Scottish champion. So
Jesus Christ.
I did love the running. And like I went a lot of British championships and like I say, I had a lot of success, but that's kind of pulled me away for the football.
Yeah.
And then for that kind of reason, I thought, right, I hate to kind of go Gaius or go.
Yeah.
Because, like I say, I was like 15, and honestly, because you remember it, like, I went to this race, right, run for Scotland, but you couldn't represent until you were 15.
Okay.
So I was 14, and the Scottish Athletics had asked me to run an age above myself.
Right.
So, because they thought that would get in to represent the British Championship. So anyway, I did. I came fourth or something for like a year above myself. So anyway, I went, first time I represented Scotland, obviously I was fucking a short arse. So they used to hate, when you run for Scotland, it was like a vest and shorts.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I put the vest and the shorts on and the fucking shorts fell down. So I was that small. So what they had to do is they got the vest and shorts and they had to pin them together. So I had to run the race. They didn't even fit me. Like I rolled up in it.
Oh, it was a nightmare. So was that early teenage or like late teenage years? Did you have to take it quite serious?
I did. I mean,
in terms of obviously because other people like me at that age, I was smashing Smirnoff Ices and stealing my dad's body and that. Like, did you take it quite serious?
I'd never touched my first drink till I was 17.
Fucking hell.
I know, so I never used to drink and fucking then.
Still don't drink now, do you?
Then it went downhill from there, didn't it? But I know, I did take it strict and that was kind of for both sports. I thought, right, I'm going to try and get a go, but I mean, the training I was doing was,
even now, Flothers, like, you're obviously one of the older boys, aren't they? But even now, I see, like, at training and games and stuff, if you're doing something, you're doing it. You're doing it properly.
Yeah, I just think I was...
Is that the way you've been brought up, or...?
Oh, definitely. I mean, my mum and dad's all told it for me from an early age. I mean, I suppose it's kind of old school, but...
Yeah.
I didn't see the point in going into something and getting it half-hearted. You're going to get a go, get a go.
Yeah.
And
it's sort of like the
best bosh.
It's the sort of attitude of like, well, we're here now, are we? What else are you going to do? Like, you're here to do it. So when did you decide that football, you were going to go back to football?
The running, like, it just kind of started. I stopped.
Does it get boring if you? Because you're technically doing the same thing.
I hated it.
Yeah.
Like the training, I hated it. And
how do you train for running? Just run.
Out running. And I mean, I would go on, and that's how kind of I fell. I mean, I went 2 years, my first 2 year unbeaten.
Yeah.
And the hype was phenomenal for an early age. I was like 13, 14, and the pressure of the hype, and I was expected to do this, expected to win races, and I was like 13, 14, and it was mental. So the training, the load became too much for me, I think. I was training in the morning before school, then at night I would either have my favourite team or I would obviously 3 times a week, and then Monday, Wednesday I was at athletics. So every night of the week I trained, and if I didn't go to athletics at night, I'd take a good for a run before my school in the morning.
Jesus.
It was mental. So that's how it kind of like, I've got to like 16, 17, I can't remember, Goose, and then I end up like saying, listen, it's not for me, the running, and everybody was shocked.
Yeah.
I mean, my mum and dad, they were gobsmacked, they were devastated. I think that I just, decided to give it up. I remember my coaches, they kind of fell out with me.
Oh, did they?
They kind of took it bad because they thought that they had something in their hands, and I was just like, I just need for me, I just didn't enjoy it. And I remember saying to my mum and dad, I was like, I just didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
I hate doing the workload, I hated it. I just didn't, it wasn't for me kind of thing. Yeah. And then that was it. It kind of a hard pill to swallow for them. And then that's when I was out of game with the running, and I think I didn't hang for 6 months.
Okay.
Then the way the Glenn Turner thing came about is,
yeah,
it was, don't know if you know him, but Dec Hardy.
I think I know
he's
the name.
He runs a bit with Sherrick, so he's kind of,
boy. Yeah, I know you're about, yeah.
And he phoned me and said that he was at Glenn Turner Juniors.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked if I wanted to go play, and I was like, nah, I says, I haven't played football for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
I'm kind of done, I'm near coming back kind of thing. And then he kept on the phone and I went to Tina Park one weekend with my mates.
Oh dear.
I was absolutely steaming, and I seen his phone ringing me. I was like, I'm answering that. I was like, how's it going, Dick? And he says, are you going to come play for us next weekend? I was like, I fucking right. Because so I was like, I remember waking up on the Monday and thinking,
fear.
What have I done? And then honestly, I went to training and I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
I knew a few people that was there anyway, and honestly, I loved it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe the buzz I got again.
So that would have been the first time playing with Manny's.
With men, yeah. Yeah.
Was it an older team?
It was not too bad. I don't know if you know him, like Martin Paul and Stephen Buchanan stuff.
Okay,
I mean, so they were a few years older than me, but it was like mid-20s kind of thing.
Okay.
So it was still, I mean, I think I was, I think it was 19.
Okay.
18 or 19.
Yeah.
And so I was still a kid and going into men's junior football.
Yeah.
So it was still a bit of a shock, but I went and then I think I got played a year my first year.
Brilliant.
And then that's when Dice came in.
Yeah. At what point, I know obviously you played at Quintana and then you went to Dice. Was there a point that you can remember that you thought, I could go higher here? Like obviously you've ended up higher.
Yeah.
Did you realise it before it actually happened?
I think when I went to Glenn Turner, and it's no disrespect to them there. At an early age, I was kind of looking, I would say, like kind of the better player in the team each week. So
yeah.
I kind of thought I can definitely go higher.
Yeah.
And then when I went to Dice is a really good team at that time.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
And they were really good. So, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a student or a sore thumb at Dice, but I think probably people took my age into consideration and thought,
yeah,
oh, he's a good player, he's young. And I kind of thought I could go up the high league. And then I think I must have been about 21. So I was still young as well. I mean, that's what I see. Lads, nowadays, it's still there that 18, 19, 20, and put a lot of pressure on this.
All the time in the world, mate.
And I tell young Jack McCormack, to be honest, just now, he's got umpteen time in his hands.
Yeah.
He's a young lad, in a great careers ahead of him, but you've just got to be patient.
Yeah.
Again, it's, and I think that, luckily enough for me, I stopped playing, but I went to playing every single week from like 18. I've done the juniors for like 2.5 years. Constant, played every single week, so I think that was a vital period for me.
Yeah.
Although I missed 2 years out for like 16 to 18,
yeah,
for that period at 18 to 21, I played constant every week men's football.
Yeah.
So I think that was.
Were you offshore by that point?
No, it's actually.
So that was a clean run every week, yeah.
It was every week.
Yeah.
And believe it or no, that's it. When Huntley thing came, I knew we had Ali McGinley with us at the time.
Okay.
And that's Dave McGinley's brother.
Right.
So Ali McGinley kept saying that, oh, listen, I think my brother Dave's going to want to try and sign you for Huntley. Would you go? And I says, I definitely would go.
Yeah.
And then, so I was kind of wind of that for like a few months. And I was out of contract at the end of that season. And believe it or not, I ended up making a total ass of it when I left Dice.
Oh,
did you? I had a Dice night out. And then it was like 3-4 games before the end of the season. And they put up a end of season awards thing. And I remember for Martin was at a dinner. And I ended up a full blown brawl between us and Fairmartin.
Was it?
We had like Jake Strzok and stuff playing for us at the time, so it was absolutely wild. And to this day, they didn't get invited to the season awards. Oh,
the club doesn't
at all. Nah, Dice didn't allow their players to go. I think it's because ever since then, I think they lost sponsors and stuff. But anyway, that was kind of like. It was kind of like the end of that.
Yeah.
But like I remember Dave McGinley, he like they asked to meet me at Northern Hotel, in for a chat. So I went to meet him and kind of like says to me like, I've heard about the carry-ons at Dice and I've heard about like the end of season doing stuff. And it was like really what sign you but hope you're not gonna take baggage with you kind of thing. And I was like, no, kind of, I was still young at the time. It was yeah. Us like myself.
Good
like,
to see you never listened, right?
I was like, oh, okay. I was like, no, kind of best behavior, kind of. And that was it. That was it.
Sounds like a daft question, right? But see, people that listen to this probably get what I mean. Before you joined Huntley, did you realize kind of? I joined Huntley Media at like 31, and I was so keen for it. I didn't realize the traveling.
Yeah.
Did you know kind of? Were you aware? Because I didn't really realize until the first couple of bus trips, and I thought, holy fuck,
I never knew either.
Did you love it though? At a young age,
I did. But I mean, I'm just the same as anyone else. Really, I never knew to the extent. The commitment and the travelling, it's fucking wild, to be honest with you. It's you're all over the country, yeah.
Yeah.
The travelling is wild, but do you know what? In my first away trip was Fort, and
was that your debut as well?
That was my debut Fort away.
Oof.
And
see, before you played your debut, and you obviously signed Huntley, and you were in the high league. Did you see a massive jump between juniors and high league?
Yeah.
You did see it?
Straight away, I think, my first training session.
Yeah.
I went up to Huntley. We used to train in Huntley. And we actually had a really good team when I first joined. And I remember the standard in training. And see, back then, it was more men.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm 34 now, and they're kind of
younger.
But it's really young.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the amount of lads that was like 30, 31, 32 when I joined was fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was half the team was men.
Yeah.
And then there was a few youngsters. And I mean, I was like, I remember me, David Booth and Neil Davidson. Fuck, Michael Clark as well.
He's all joined same time.
He was the youngest. Yeah, I think, God, he must have been 16, 17.
I actually think he was 15.
Was he? I think he was young. And I thought I was young at the time, and I was 21. I mean,
Jesus.
21 now, it's fucking...
Mainstream player, right?
Mature player in the league.
And you actually are.
Aye.
Yeah.
So, I never realised the extent of the travel and stuff, but I definitely noticed the in standard of the quality, which is no disrespect, because the quality of player, there's loads of quality players at amateur, junior, but... I think the fitness just took it to a next level.
It's fitness and dedication for me.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to be dedicated.
Of course.
We spoke about it before we went live on here. It's a job, effectively.
Yeah.
If you're getting paid money for something, it's a job.
Yeah.
So if you don't take that serious, it's not going to be as good as other levels.
No. And I think that's the main thing. I mean, staying dedicated to it and using that commitment to... do things out with football, because I mean everyone's got jobs.
Yeah.
It's part-time football at the end of the day, but I think especially now the youth, they're in the gym.
Yeah.
They keep themselves fit. They're out for runs. I mean, I noticed a difference in the whole league from now until when I first went.
Yeah.
Fitness is incredible.
See, like. Now, obviously, when you first joined at 21, the majority of Huntley now is that age.
Yeah.
Now you're one of the older ones and you're in your 30s. Do you see it as like you have to, do you feel like there's a push to keep up with them?
I mean, I suppose.
Is there a bit mentally that you're like, I'm not letting that little come
here? That's exactly it. Yeah. I think I'll always be into my fitness. I do, but I see over the last 3-4 years, I've seen it as a challenge to be like, I'm at this age now. I don't know, when, like, if there's beep tests and stuff, I was like, I don't know what to get beat here.
Yeah.
And I think I I do use that as kind of a push for myself to keep fit and keep keep it at the top of my game as that I can. But no, definitely, I would say that I use the youngsters.
Aye, to kind of gauge yourself against. On. Yeah. So back to the Fort William thing, the debut. Can you remember it?
I can't actually. I remember, honestly, had a great pre-season in the lead up to under Dave McGinley. And
Were you still right mid at that point?
I was still right mid, yeah. And I honestly thought I was going to play. I did. But I knew it was going to be tough because, I mean, I only did pre-season. But, I mean, I worked my socks off. And I, like I say, even back then, the runs.
Who's other wingers?
It was Neil Davidson. He was new, but he was quality Neil.
Yeah.
And there was... I was good players. I can't remember if Grant Campbell actually played. I think we played a 3-5-2, and I think Grant Campbell played right wing.
Okay.
Wing back. I'm sure it was, but I can't really remember. But anyway, I was on a bench, went up the fort, and fucking struggled 1-1. And I can't remember how long ago, but it was like 20 minutes to go or something. So anyway, they threw me on. And I made one for goals, like, and it just fucking so happened that it was running down the wing, screaming my fucking head off, pass it, and then fucking threw it, and I just launched myself at the bar, closed my eyes, and fucking scored a winner. And honestly, then I think I've scored another winner in the next the past 11 years again, but luckily enough, I got a score sheet, and that led to it all.
And you kicked on from there. How long was Dave there? So from you joining Dave, did you have Dave for a while or?
I think I mentioned to you already, but Dave and Jim were honestly they were unbelievable.
Yeah.
They were so good and they had such a good relationship with the players. But honestly, I wouldn't like to tell you the time frame, but I think it was short. I think it was only about a season that I had them for. They were there a season before, but I'm sure that I only had them for about a season. And the amount of managers I've had has been fucking
bad. Yeah, you've opened my eyes because I was trying to work it out roughly in my head and then I've seen your notes tonight and thought, fucking hell.
I mean, I could go on and speak about a few of them, but I mean, Dave and Jim, I mean, I always thank for taking me to the club. They were brilliant and honestly, couldn't speak highly enough of them.
Yeah.
The training was class. Jim was an absolute fitness fanatic.
Oh, was he?
Oh, he was a machine. And he was a great player in his day as well, but he was an absolute machine. I've never seen much like the lad. Like,
no.
Even now, I usually see him running about the streets with his dog, getting fucking nuts. Like,
have you always kind of been a mainstay in the team since you've been there?
Well, that's come back to your question actually not too long ago. No, not really, because I actually joined Huntley, right? And I think I joined Huntley in July, and then that's when I got in August. That's when I got the job offer to go offshore.
Right, first season.
So my first season.
Right.
I just signed, obviously, however long it was, a deal at Huntley.
Yeah.
So I remember I went to Dave. It was, I did like a 3-month, I got an offer to go offshore and I was 21 or whatever it was. And with everything it comes with, it was just too good to turn down.
Yeah.
And I just thought, right, I'm 21, I'm playing Ireland League football. I'm not going to be turning professional football. It was kind of like, it was a too good an opportunity to miss out on. So I went for it and I knew that it was going to affect my football.
Yeah.
And I spoke to Dave and Jim, my sister, and listen, I'm going to do a 3-month course, which took me up till October, November time, I think. And then I was like, I'm going to be offshore kind of thing. I says, listen, I'm happy to have my gear back.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to sign for another team kind of thing. I'll probably just park in.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, don't be stupid. They were like, we'll work with you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was kind of taken back a bit. And I was like, aye, really?
Yeah.
And I was like, how's this going to work? Like I said, I didn't have a clue if it was ahead of me. And they said, no, we'll make it work. We'll work with you and just give us what you can if you're here. So even for that age, I kind of thought, fuck, that's brilliant of them.
Yeah.
So when I'm at home, I'm going to give them everything I've got. I'm not going to miss training. They're going to go away for weekends and stuff. I'll give my word and I'll stay. So
that must be a hard commitment from your point of view, though, eh? Because if you're working offshore, obviously everyone knows that listens to it. Like, if you're working offshore, you work hard for a nice life. you've got the money available to go and do things. So that, do you find it difficult that when you're here, you can't really because you've got your football?
I think like when I was younger, no. And it never really bothered me because it was usually I would spend time with football lads on a weekend. That was kind of my weekends. I would say things get harder when you've got kids. Yeah. And I think weekends away with the kids, and I think I've kind of missed that. But I mean, there's plenty of time for that, so I'm not too bothered. But just relating to it, I think there is times that I think, God, I could have went away this weekend. But I am so lucky that my wife and she loves me playing football. She comes up to watch, and my kids love it. They come up and watch. So I'm just so lucky from my family point of view that
it's worked.
It's worked out so well. Yeah.
So in terms of like the kind of timeline, who came in after Dave went?
I think it was Greg Carroll came in straight after Dave.
Yeah.
Dave.
Yeah. Well, Greg.
Greg was brilliant.
Yeah.
Honestly, Greg was unbelievable. I can only speak highly about the lad. It never worked out for Greg. Greg was going through a difficult time with his life at that point. But
did he come to Huntley after he'd done one over them with Buck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he came in with huge
pressure. Did he set himself quite high as well?
Aye. I think he came in with like a project, and when he came in, we went all shit. We let 6 players had left. I think we had a few foreigners at the time. Greg and them didn't really click, so they left. Yeah. They went Bucky for Martins, and we lost a lot of key players. So we had a total rebuild in our hands.
Yeah.
And Greg was going through a bit of a difficult time. It didn't work.
Yeah.
And it was a shame because you've seen, I mean, he won a league with Bucky, he won a league with Devon Vale. He was regarded as a top class high league manager.
Yeah, did you see that in him as well? Could totally, you see him? Yeah.
See his training and his authority that he had. I mean, you just listened to him.
Yeah.
I mean, he was fucking nuts.
Aye.
But he got your attention. And he was one of them. He would blow the handle, but honestly, he would look out for his players. Whether you're a young lad, everybody, he's got your back, and he knew he had your back.
Is he the scariest gaffer you've had in terms of when he cracks?
Aye, probably. He used to ask folk out to the centre half for a fight.
After
games, he called out loads.
Did anyone go? If you can say, obviously.
Dorrit was fucking close with him. Craig Dorrit, I mean, fuck, imagine calling out Dorrit.
He's a big boy, like.
That's brave in its end. But him and Greg was fucking close to, I think that was in Huntley. But Blair Johnston, he called it Blair shot it.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
He called it a few boys.
Was that just his style?
It's just his style. He was total old school, but he was Greg was fucking so good. I mean, me and him being away, we got him brilliant. Our first game was at Civil Service Strollers.
Oh yeah, yeah. Away.
Away. And so we had a night out booked in Edinburgh and stuff, for after the game. Straight away when he came in, he was like, right, listen, we'll get everybody together, get a night out sorted in Edinburgh, we'll play a team down there and we'll get a team bonding. And he was all about that, Ken. He tried to get a good team spirit. And so we were all up for it. And we went down, right? And we played against Civil Service Strollers. I can't remember the score, but again, I think I started playing. I was right back that game, and like I say, I never scored goals. It's never been my thing.
Yeah.
And then I scored a goal, right? And I was fucking buzzing. I was like, get in there. Can't remember what the score was. And I thought, nice one. And he fucking started screaming at me. And I was thinking, fucking hell, is he screaming at me? So I'm running back, and he's like, you fucking idiot, you're out of position. If we lost that bar, we would have been on can attack. And I was like, Greg, I've just scored. And he was like, I'm making a fuck. He said, if you didn't score, we would have been out of position. I've been 3-1 and can't go a minute. And I was like, oh, fuck. Right? I turned around and I was like, fuck off. And he was like, all right. So next thing, he hooks me. So fucking anyway. Just
quite early in the game?
It was like, well, I think it was like 60 minutes actually. It was like, it was in the second half, okay. But straight away, he's like, get him off, hooks me. So I'm going off the park and we're kind of like arguing back and forth. And I'm like, I threw a strop. So I head back to change room, straight back to change room. I'm fucking kicking everything. I was like, he's a prick, he's a fucking asshole. So next thing, get inside change rooms. And I was in it. I went into their social club, started in a pint. And a couple of lads was like, thingy night, Greg, just the way he is. He was like, just leave him, we'll be all right. He's like, fucking telling you now, there's no chance he's missing a night out to Edinburgh. So I was like, I'm not coming, I'm going home in the bus. And then Greg was like, just fucking leave him. 10 minutes later, up there, I was like, ah, oh, sorry about that. And he was like, I'm fucking you, you've come crawling. And then he was, honestly, went our night out. And in the morning, we were obviously hanging out our arse. And this is just the type of guy Greg is. There was obviously youngsters in the team, guys. It can obviously need a lot of money and that. We went to go for breakfast. And it's fucking snake cheap for a breakfast nowadays. 10, 11 quid. And I was just like 15, 16 of us. And he went up, paid it.
He got the rounds.
And it was just like, straight away, everybody just thought, he sounds fucking...
Yeah. See, a question for you in terms of, we're talking about Greg being old school. Do you think that works nowadays?
No, near such, no.
You've got to be able to do both.
You've got to manage players.
You can't just be 100 miles per hour all the time.
I think players would crumble.
Yeah.
In art. Greg, nowadays, I mean, fucker's not much to him now, is there?
No.
I mean, your Chrissy Hunter was quite...
Yeah.
He's kind of out of the game, but that type of... management, it's kind of gone, which, I mean...
Do you prefer it?
I think I reacted better with
a rocker.
Think I did. I think that comes from, like, Ricky Cheen and Chip McCallum Barkley, where I was just brought up with it, and they would fucking, they'd give you hell for leather if you wish it, and I reacted better to that. Sometimes people from the outside would be like, what's going on, Ken?
Yeah.
But it was just my game.
And I preferred it rocket when I played. Like,
yeah.
Even with boxing, I prefer it if someone tells me straight.
That's it.
I maybe have a wee sock and tell them to fuck off, but it gets me going more than someone patting your arse.
Oh, I prefer an honest opinion. And do you know what? I think everybody still does prefer an honest opinion.
Yeah.
But I just think nowadays there's just ways and means of going about it.
Yeah,
and I think
do it different.
I think man management's a huge thing nowadays.
Yeah. So who came in after Greg?
It was, I might have got these orders wrong.
That's right.
I'm sure it was Grazer and Dougie Baxter.
Okay.
It was Grazer and Dougie Baxter. Now I played with Grazer. Grazer was fucking brilliant.
Okay.
He was really good. So I think he went in under Dougie.
Right.
And
did he take the training?
Yeah. And it was...
So he took the training. Dougie was just...
Dougie
Gaffer.
Aye. But... we were still under a transition period. I mean, we're pretty shit over that few years that they were there. The club was in a great place. We were bringing in some decent players as well at the time, but it just wasn't working out for us. I mean, I remember signing like some Marek for like Hermes.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And he was scoring like 40 odd goals at like Hermes, and he come to us, and I think this didn't work out. They went fucking for Martin. Absolutely scored a wad of goals.
Yeah.
Then he's over in Australia, nailing it. But you see it, a few of the players, for whatever reason, it just wasn't working for us at that time.
Do you know why? Like, is there anything that you could, or just down to the luck of it, didn't work?
It just didn't work. I mean, I think, didn't get me wrong, I think it was a hell of a transition period. Like I say, when Dave left, I mean, I remember one stage when I first came in, I think we were like second up until Christmas.
Jesus.
Under Dave McGinley.
Yeah.
And we're in a semi-final with Locos. And then they'd left and it was like halfway through the season. And then along with that, when he left, I think honestly, it was something like 7 players had left.
Jesus.
And it was, then other boys had tailed off at the end of that season as well. That was at the end of it. 7 left and... Boys left at the end of that season, but we were left with, honestly, pretty much fuck all.
Yeah.
I remember going to pre-season one year, and I'm sure it was like 9 players.
Fuck.
And I remember saying, fucking hell, Hein League football team.
Yeah.
And there's like nine players. And that's how big of a job it kind of was from, like, Greg.
Yeah.
He tried to draft players in, then he left after a year. Dougie and Grazer came in. We weren't great under them. They left after a year. So it was, honestly, it was a revolving door of managers. It was a year, a Jesus. Year, a year. So I was in a steady ship.
Yeah.
And I think even like then it was like Martin Stewart and Eddie Copeland, they were coming in and helping because we never had a manager. So they were coming in and helping here and there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that was two legends of the club.
Big time legends.
So,
yeah.
And I mean, they probably thought, fucking hell, what am I dealing with here? Kenfe, when they were involved. So they'd seen. Obviously they've been at the glory years of the club.
Yeah.
So if they probably answer your question better, but they went to see that where they were to when they came in us, and they must have just thought, fucking hell, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So but I was like, it was just a mess, really. Yeah. The club wasn't in a great place. And then
before we go on to kind of split that question up before we go through the gaffers, have you ever thought about leaving, or has there ever been opportunities to leave?
I think there's a question at the end, so I'm not really going about it, but it's no secret. I remember I had a big disagreement with Dougie.
Yeah.
Not once or twice, but a few times. But actually got near against Dougie, and that Dougie's a great guy, and I actually played some of my great, in fact, probably I think one of my better years under Dougie Boxer.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't score goals, but I was like, what I think was they pushed me into certain midfield that year.
Okay.
And I think I scored something like 9 or 10 goals that season.
Right.
And like put context, I think I've only got 16 goals or 17 goals in my 12 year I've been at a club. So I think that season alone they pushed me forward and I played some of my best football, but that season I kind of fell out with Dougie. And I remember Dippy, he gave us a phone when he was at Vale. And he asked if I was interested, and I remember Keith was sniffing about it as well. And I did think about it that season. Every other year, I mean, I've had junior clubs coming in, and I've never really thought that I wanted to leave, but I did that season.
Okay.
I thought, right, this is the end of me, I'm gonna leave.
Yeah.
And that would have been about the only time.
What made you decide to stay?
Just the club. I mean, I would have been devastated to leave Huntly.
Yeah.
I loved it at Huntly.
It's a great club.
It's just, the club's honestly so good.
Yeah.
And it's just a family club. I mean, me and my kids, and they get well looked after. My wife, my mum, my dad, whole family. But it's not just that. We just really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Can you, I mean, we'll get on it as well, but what these boys have got in place for nowadays, it's night and day what it used to be like.
Yeah.
When did they start training in Aberdeen then? You've mentioned that they trained in Huntly. Was it Alan that took them to Aberdeen, or was it there for a while?
It was, who would it have been under now? I think it would have been Dougie and Grazer. It's Dougie and Grazer. They
both sessions or just once a week?
We used to train, was it twice? Yeah, twice a week in
just
Aberdeen.
Yeah.
Countless spells, I think.
Does that make a big difference?
I think that was the idea. We wasn't attracting players from Aberdeen.
Don't they fuck
that. Because I think like the big thing, that we wasn't getting any players, and I think that's when the Dougie and Grazer, to be fair to them, they kind of took a different route and thought, right, well, over the past 3-4 years, training in Huntly, they were nae attracting the same type of player because,
yeah.
I mean, and they disrespect us at the time, but like if the players, they were either Cove, if, like Aberdeen Blair, they were Cove,
yeah.
Then they were like, you're for Martins,
locals.
And then it would be locals. You're thinking like, fuck, going up to Huntly to train, and then like other teams that was in and around us, they would train. And once in Aberdeen,
okay.
And once in Ken, and it was just like we were so far down the pecking order. I attract players that were thinking, I think I'll hunt you twice a week.
Yeah.
And then that's when about Charlie Charlesworth came in after Dougie.
Is that Coco's old man?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They were Coco and Martin. Martin actually came to us as well.
Was
Martin under? I can't even remember fucking Martin played under his dad. I can't remember.
How was he as a gaffer?
What a man. He's fucking unbelievable. Nothing but high respect for Charlie. And I think that's when we started to try and turn a corner, to be honest with you. Okay. He took in some signings.
Oh, did he?
That's when we started to turn a corner. We kind of started becoming like close to the mid-table, kind of signed, kind of a sticky team. But he signed about 3, 4, 5 maybe for Turriff alone. And that's when Turriff were flying. Remember, they were like 3rd and 4th in the league.
Who's that sort of boys he signed?
Signed Carmi Booth, David Booth, Neely Davidson, Woody, Magoo.
Yeah.
I saw it's like 5, but then we ended up signing Nick as well. So that's like 6 players for Turriff when they were flying. So Charlie Morris had taken really good signings, but he was a pure man manager.
Oh, was he?
He was.
Did he coach as well?
He did, but his coaching wasn't the best. No, I'm joking. he was just pure man management. Charlie, his signings, and the signings that he took in kind of said it all, but he didn't last long either. I think he was out about a season as well.
That's nuts.
It's honestly mental. He just couldn't find stability in that. See the thing with Charlie, I think the boys he took in, and it's the lads are great lads, but I'd say that season, that we went through like a kind of small dressing room, we weren't that great, I was no big-headed lads.
Yeah.
And then I think like Charlie Charlesworth, I think like it was guys like Dino Donaldson won leagues. It was Murray McCulloch, it's won leagues.
Yeah.
Guy Mark, me, it was good at Keith at the time. And then I was a lot. And then obviously we added like Nick, Boothie, Magoo, all these players. It was a high ego dressing room. And I think that's what probably didn't work.
Okay.
It didn't really work out, and I think Charlie left. It was he never got sacked, Charlie just called it a day and just said, "Nah, it's not for me," and then he packed it in. But then that's when Andy and Tommy came in, was it? Or maybe got the order mixed up.
They had them flying at one point.
But we were fucking some team under them. But and honestly, they are two great men. They were absolutely brilliant. They were the turn of the club.
Yeah, okay.
We were 4th at one stage when under them.
Yeah.
We signed some players. Kiesel came in, David Donald Kiesel came in, there. Dennis Wynes came in.
Neely Allen was there, was he?
Neely Allen was there.
Yeah.
It was fucking we had a really good team. Pelly was there, Magoo was there.
Yeah.
It was strong.
Yeah.
And We were flying under Andy and Tommy, and like I said, I was skinning Ricky after that. But I would say that was probably my most enjoyable time at Huntley.
Yeah.
I obviously love it now as well, but going by like nights out and stuff, it was all people. It was my age.
Yeah.
And
that's what you said to me before we came on. If you're playing Highland League, you're spending a lot of time with the boys. Twice a week, probably 2-hour sessions.
Yeah.
Away game on a Saturday, you're away from 10 in the morning till 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Like, you're seeing boys a lot. Like, if you're all pally and it's good, it's enjoyable. You want to be there.
And I think I'm still really close mates with these boys to this day kind of thing. I still talk to them through that group. And it was like, there's Boothie, Nick, Blair, Zahns, which is obviously still at Huntley. I think Zahns is probably the only one. It's still at Huntley. If Clarkie's came and gone.
Yeah.
But that group of players, it was fucking brilliant. With some good night shooting. It was
Was it a big, massive booze culture?
I would say under Andy and Tommy and Skinned and Ricky, it was night two core.
Every away game.
It was away games. It was like I say, boys like Kiesel and you weren't getting him.
Nah.
You weren't getting off that bus. Even Nick Gray. That was Nick Gray in his prime.
Okay.
Yeah. And
was he that good?
Nick was great. Nick came for Cove, obviously winning the league and stuff. But what a lad to in the changing room.
It's a good lad.
He was fucking brilliant. He was a top man. I remember his first game was up to Wick, And I was under Skin and Ricky. I think Skin signed him, and we had a wild team. Honestly, that team was, it was nuts. It's the worst I've ever seen. That season, we were getting buses up to games,
yeah.
Right? And then I was Skins. That season as well, we actually got the worst record in the league. And the board came in and said, fucking with this bookings and stuff. We're like, listen, it's so bad, boys. So then the member walked out of change and we were like, yeah. it was wild. I think still he had like 11 yellow cards and he's in. But it would be a horrific record.
Yeah.
And then
we were winning games.
We were doing well. I think we finished 8th under Skins that season. And I think we were leveling points with Bucky. And we just had a great team spirit.
Yeah.
It was unreal. But like I say, every away game where everybody was drinking, it was a great bunch of boys for that. And I remember there was away buses, the bus companies were complaining because we were wild on a night on a bus back. They were complaining that much. I remember Skins pulled us all in. He was like, right, that is it, lads. We're going to fucking either ban the drinking because we're down to the last bus company.
Jesus.
Every bus company was refusing to take us.
Yeah.
So I think the ass says, no, we're not taking them. So then we got, there's like 7 coaches was the last team to take us. So we went up to Wick. And it was like best behaviour. So we're like, oh no, Wick away. So they gave us the Aberdeen team just got a new bus. So we got like the old bus.
Yeah.
So it was like speakers at back tables and stuff. And I remember we walked on, we were like, holy shit. we never get us.
Party bus.
So we went up and that was Nick Gray's first game as well. And he's like, I've heard about the night suit, the buses and stuff. And I was like, oh, I hear. You'll be in for one tonight, and I like. So he gets up, and I'm not joking. Yeah, fucking. Oh my god, it was absolutely mental
chaos.
We went up Wick away. I think it was the best draw I've ever had in my life. I think we were 2-0 down in minutes, and then I think Magoo scored a double, and we drew 2-2, and I'm not joking. I've never seen a draw like
that. Bodies ever.
We were absolutely bouncing. So we came back and we got absolutely wrecked on the bus, as you do.
This is after Skins' warning.
This is after Skins' warning, say to take it easy. But I think he knew himself. He was like, it's not happening. So we went back and I remember we were all pretty boozy coming back, and it was like Inverness, and we went into Tesco and we were running about Tesco and the chocolates and stuff, and we got thrown out of there. Trying to get drinks, so we're back on the bus, and for Inverness, Aberdeen, it was fucking bonkers. I mean, Marty McDonald was at the back of the bus, and I think I was in the toilet, and he was fucking banging the door like in the toilet, and I was like, fuck off, Marty, I'm fucking coming out. And he's like, I need in. And I was like, alright. And so I opened up the toilet, but before I opened up, there were speakers at the back of the bus. He'd spewed all the hell up, just projectile vomit. So we're and he was spewing. He was thinking he was spewing by the seat, but he wasn't. He was spewing into the speakers.
Oh my god!
So he spewed it at them. Then I was the table got broken because folk were wrestling with tables and stuff. It was honestly mayhem. So then we got fined for obviously Skins and that were mental on Monday.
Was he on the bus as well?
He was on the bus, but it was kind of like out of control, kind of like. And then I remember even this young lad came on. I want to mention his name, but his mum ended up getting called to come on the bus and take him off because he was spewing everywhere. And
it was
wild. And then, so we got banned for Central Coaches. They said they weren't going to take us. So that season went to drive to games and for the rest of the season. But it was fucking mental, like that team.
So to kind of sum it up there, and then that's kind of transitioned us into where we are now with Alan and Stefan. Obviously, I'm involved with that as well. And now it's very well run. Like, I'm not saying, obviously, it's not been before. I've never been involved in those clubs. But Huntley, for me now, is one of the best in terms of how it's run. How do you see it now from when you first started to now? Different club completely?
I totally.
They're good, eh?
Oh, they're... I've never really got bad words to say about any of my previous managers, and I've fucking got, like I say, I still hold some friends to this day.
Yeah.
But, I mean... I've never seen a desire and commitment like these two. It's an obsession.
Yeah.
And they'll move on for Huntley, and they'll go on to do good things. I've got nothing to do to be up, but I've never seen the desire to do well and
yeah.
The professionalism at the club now. Wow. I mean, even just off the park stuff is insane.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know there is clubs that is doing the same thing nowadays, but I mean, the investment that they've managed to get in the club, I mean, the facilities, the changing rooms, ex-players that come in nowadays, and they're like, holy shit, see, the home changing room, yeah. You didn't get much better now.
No.
And as league clubs, I mean, I've played at Stenhouse Muir and Barton and stuff, but they're not in the same league.
Yeah.
Changing room boys is Huntley's. And even like the player vest, again, that's kind of a thing as well with other clubs as well now. But I mean, I think they were one of the first to invest in them.
Yeah.
The player data vest, they're incredible.
Your results in those things must be a joke, are they?
Well, fuck it. Depends what mood I'm in. Like, no, I think I do all right. But
see the way that you play, obviously.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but. The way I see you playing is very much like on heart and commitment and drive.
Yeah.
Alan and Stefan's training, very technical.
Yeah.
Do you, not so much like, do you enjoy that?
Yeah, love it.
You do?
Love it. Yeah. I think there's this kind of thing, even when players start getting older as well, that players start thinking, he's 31, 32, he's stuck in his way. It's not the case. Yeah. Like, at any age, players want to go in and learn and listen.
Yeah.
I mean, I love learning from others and listening to others, and I think that's what I'll take into later in my life. But nah, I love it. I think their training's, even other ex-players, they'll tell you, the training is wild. I mean, we train at Cormac Park, train at Cove, it's the best in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not really anybody that could say that they train in better facilities than for BD. I mean, we train at Cormac Park in Cove's pitch, and I think there's any better than that. So, what's in place for you at the club now? It's off the park stuff, like the gear that you get, the everything, you're so well looked after. Yeah. It's phenomenal.
This isn't even a self tire pump, but I'm effectively the first team as a masseuse.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of teams in the football league.
No.
Like Aberdeen, I was at the masseuse at Aberdeen, and there wasn't a lot of SPL clubs that had a masseuse.
Yeah.
Huntley have got a masseuse.
I know. Like,
every session.
It's insane. I mean, honestly, what's on offer now, and it's unbelievable the difference.
Yeah.
I think the whole game's changed, and if you go back 10 years ago, 11, 12 years ago when I first joined, I probably would have laughed at you.
If you said the stuff that we do now,
it's got now. Yeah. I would have honestly thought that you're fucking that you're insane.
That's not happening.
And I honestly could have never seen this. Like even the player data vests.
Yeah.
The analysis that we get after games. Even when we've got games or we're doing them. There are meetings and stuff, and special meals that we get, it's full time stuff. The way you get looked after, and that's why it's no disrespect to like Huntley or to anyone. These two have got ambitions. It's Stefan's job.
Yeah.
Alan's obviously obsessed with the game, and I think that they've got that aspiration to go higher, which is no secret. That's why I believe it. I think they will.
I asked Greg Mitchell this question last week, and I'm going to ask you the same. Obviously, you do say you are right. There is always clips that they get from Alan and Steph, especially in those bigger games. You've obviously played in the league a long time. Do you enjoy that? Like, would you rather just go out into a game and work out for yourself? Or do you actually quite like that modern day technology of sending the wingers clips? This is how he's going to do it. He's going to go inside. He's going to stay wide. Do you like that, or do you prefer working out yourself, or a bit of both?
I mean, I always prefer to concentrate our own game first.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's a tough question because see, with the Hiding League, you kind of know who you're playing against.
You play, Greg said something similar. Yeah.
And like even like the styles, like your top teams are going to hold on to the ball. Yeah. They're going to go wide to wide and they're going to try and cut you through channels and stuff. And I think even the players that you play against, especially when you've been in the league a bit longer,
they're going to change.
You kind of get it just before. I mean, even we've got Turriff tomorrow. I know how Turriff's going to play. I've played with Dino Donaldson.
Yeah.
They know the guys that I'm up against. So I think on that kind of aspect, I would probably prefer to concentrate on what we're going to do because I know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
So how can we attack them kind of thing? But I think that what was good is like Scottish Cup.
Yeah.
Like when we played against your higher teams at like the Stenhouse Spears and Bartons and stuff that you know absolutely nothing about these players.
Yeah.
And I think that's when it's good.
Yeah.
To right, listen, this is who you're up against today. And I remember we went in like Falkirk Stadium and we
before got Stenhouse Spear. Yeah.
Was it Stenhouse Spear? Is it? Yeah. It was. Yeah, Stenhouse Spear. And then we got a full analysis.
Yeah.
Of who we're up against, and I thought that was brilliant.
See what thing you mean that day. Their meeting, although that it was 1-0 at half time and we ended up taking a couple more and we got beat 4, they genuinely played exactly like the meeting.
Yeah.
Like everything.
Yeah.
They played exactly how we were told they were going to play.
Because it was actual video clips.
Yeah.
I think, and even where that's from now, it's so, the technology now, it's so fucking far ahead.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And I think taking actual video clips from their previous games and saying, right, this is what you're up against kind of day. I thought that's fucking pretty good. It's like,
yeah.
But, if you're going, kind of go two ways, that kind of question. But
lastly, before we go on, it's some funny stuff. Transitioning into coaching.
Yeah.
Is it something you've thought about for a while?
It's a bit of a weird one because I've never really, I think my job plays a big part of it.
Yeah.
Because
what are you, two on, two off?
Two on, two off. And I didn't think I would ever want to go is into like management.
No.
I think it's for me. Like being a manager, honestly, it's a full-time job.
It's politics, mate. Eh?
And managers in Hein League, then I get the credit they're due.
No.
I mean, the hours that these lads put in, it's phenomenal. You see stuff like lads saying, I'm going to come to training tonight, and I think I'd like fucking prick.
Yeah.
Kind of, I think I would take it to heart a bit too much. So I didn't think I could hold my tongue or stick it out, I would say. I didn't think I could just stick it. I think I would end up going off on and saying, that's not for me kind of thing. But for the coaching side is I can definitely see myself into coaching because I would try and stay like the same role that I've got just now kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas I've got my input, I'm there, but like into management, no, but into coaching,
Do you think you'll change anything about yourself? Like you kind of mentioned it there that you want to kind of stay in that same experienced player role that you are now. You kind of want to stay in that. Do you think it'll change you? Because personally, I know management and coaching is different. It does change,
yeah.
But coaching's obviously, are you going to try and just stick to your guns that you've kind of said?
I mean, I think it's a tough one, and I suppose that when I really can until I'm actually in the role, but I'll just try and be myself.
Yeah.
And I'm always taking see youngsters coming in.
Yeah.
And
you're deep fan.
I try and help them as much as I can.
Yeah.
And I think because it is daunting, and you can see some guys are in their shell at times and you're thinking, listen, they're a good player, but they just need to express themselves or their full ability. And
especially our group, Our group's very tight and it's like...
Really tight.
It's one of those changing rooms where boys will tear shreds off of you because they like you.
Yeah.
If boys don't speak to you, then you need to worry. If boys are taking skin off your back, you know you're fine.
Yeah.
And that goes down to like me, Alan and Steph. We get it, especially like James Connolly and that. We fucking get it so tight.
Yeah.
But it's because they like us. It's because there's that kind of togetherness, which is brilliant. But like you say, if you're new to that, even if you're a good player, the first couple of weeks, you're like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
I mean, we even spoke to players. It's in now. And they kind of believe how tight a group it is and how there's no big egos at us.
No.
And I think that's what's really helped us over the last... There's no a bad egg around team.
No, there's not.
And there's lads that has been offered to leave and go, and they just want to go.
Yeah,
it's they love it that much, Huntley, I want to mention names, there's lads that's left.
Yeah.
And they've openly said that they miss it.
No, we should ever.
Grass is not always greener on the other side kind of thing. But no, it is. It's a really good club. It's brilliant. And hopefully I wouldn't change too much in coach and all, but I would take it as strict as I can. And if you've took drills yourself, if lads wasn't listening in drills and gave me the respect, I think that's when I would be about lads listening and take a piss kind of thing. But I would try and keep like the same kind of relationship with the lads.
So questions.
I am
buzzing out my arse for this. Like, so first one I got when I put up on my Instagram about asking questions for you. The first one I got is, why do you always wear fake boots?
He's a dick. Ryan Wallace, he's an absolute dick. See what that is? And that is absolutely, there's nothing to this question. It's the most pointless question. It sums Ryan up in one fucking sentence, right? See what it is? That came about because and there was like a fans forum at Huntley and they used my picture on it to like whatever poster it was. And he made a comment underneath it and it was like, why does number 3 wear fake boots? And he gets all the likes, and I think people commented and was like, is he wearing fake boots and stuff? And I fucking wasn't wearing fake boots. So every time he sees a photo of me, like I put on my Instagram or something, he's a first team fake boots, and if I've got a new pair of boots, it's all, he's a first team kind of, I like your fakes, but I that's as much as I get for that question.
Another one I got, your Fort William debut. Anything interesting happened on the bus on the way home?
Well, as you do, the Fort William bus, that kind of set, like I said, it was my debut as well, so that kind of set the tone with me. And it goes back to what I was saying. See, like the men in football, when I went in, I was young, and the lads, it was Neely Reid at the time. I mean, it was Russell Gould and stuff, and they're fucking quality players. But we went in, and before we left Inverness, Fort William, sorry, what they said was at the time, they kind of tried to make me feel intimidated.
Yeah.
So the lad Neil, he was like, right, listen, it was me and Neely Davidson. Well, Neely Davidson wasn't really a drinker.
Okay.
So, which I could hug my aim.
Yeah.
And they says, right, used to go to the shop, because we were new, go to the shop, get a bottle of drink, and it was like, it had to be like a big bottle. So it was like kind of, I had big beastie.
Okay.
It's long ago, I think Neil got like a big Smirnoff Ice. And there says, right, you just have to drink up before we leave Fort. So I was like, so again, it's like fucking 5 minutes in the bus, again. And I was like, I nay bother. So I fucking skulls ass drink, and they're like, oh, fucking hell, I've done it. So I was like, Neil, get it, do you? So I came right out my shell, and like, everybody was like, what's this boy? Because I scored that day, and I was fucking, can I imagine?
Archie, big balls.
Fucking 10 foot tall. So anyway, the bus came, I was in top form, I was loud as it can come, I got Neil Davidson absolutely wrecked, right? Well, he ended up getting hospitalised.
Oh, fuck.
So, luckily enough, again, Neil's a great lad, but Neil was all right, he ended up fine, but ever since that day, Neil never touched a drink ever again.
So you're single-handedly for him never drinking.
So he got, I think he had to get off. I think, I'm sure, was a doc there? I think Gordon Carter was there. Is the doc?
That's the doc. Yeah.
I think he took him off at Huntley and took him to hospital. He didn't even make Aberdeen.
Holy.
He got off. He took him to hospital and that was it. And I nearly never touched a drink again. That was nearly finished with the drink.
So because of you.
Oh, that's a Fort William trip.
So this one I'm excited for. Two people messaged me about this.
Yeah.
Huntley night out in Inverness.
Oh, fuck.
In a river.
So that was mental as well. But that one is actually, so that goes with, I'm skinned and rookie, so that kind of goes back to my conversation with
that group.
The team is mental. So we were on a night out in Inverness. Is it Johnny Fox?
Yeah.
Aye, Johnny Fox.
Was it after a game or just?
No, it was our
have a week after something.
It was our Christmas night out, I think.
Okay.
It was Christmas night out. We had our Christmas night out. We went there And then we had all booked, we'd used the kitty, so like bottles of drink and stuff booked out. So anyway, I can't remember who it was that started, but there was this fucking MMA fighter, it was in a club at the time. And I think somebody was trying to get in about his missus, or it was someone like that. I can't remember who it was, right? But anyway, as it does, it fucking kicks off, right? So we're all in this Johnny Falk, because it kicks off with this MMA fighter and his mates. So the next thing, he was obviously a local lad.
Yeah.
And so the bouncers were obviously on his side. So the next thing, the radio, the police, well, we were outside. So the next thing, the fucking police fans came flying through the corner. And we were like, oh, shit. So we are scattered. But stupidly, lads went, like, into the town and behind bars and that. But it was, like, me, Pelly, Blair. I can't imagine who else. Could have been Nick. I can't imagine. But it was a few of us. We ran straight under the bridge. So the police van fucking followed us, thinking, well, these idiots have got nowhere to run. So I was like, shit. So I was like, fuck it, boys. It's like, get in the water. Fucking no. Fuck that. Because it was Christmas time, obviously. So it was like -3. And I was like, no. I was like, listen, if we get in the water and swim across that bridge, we'll be all right. The car crossed the bridge. So anyway, we fucking can full of drink. Anyway, jumps in. I jumps in.
Fully clothed.
Fully clothed. Fucking jumps in the water. And then a police van, like, they were at the bridge, and it was like folks started lining up, and they're like, no way, folks jumping the water. So then they got like a searchlight out, searchlight was out for us. And then, so anyway, we got away.
Did you get away?
Then we jumped in this taxi, and we were absolutely Baltic. We were shivering in this taxi, we were soaking, and the driver turned to him and was like, fucking hell, are you wet? We're like, no, we're not. Keep driving, driver. So he gets back to the hotel. And during the night, Marty McDonald was trying to get back to his room. Kai Ross was like, oh, here's your keys. And he pretended to throw them in the river when we were half fucking running away. So that's what would have been who it was. So we gets back. So next thing, we're walking up the stairs in this, we're in a hostel, right? And stupid to us, the club had booked it for us, right? Oh, so obviously everything was going to get back to the club, but we weren't thinking about this at the time. So next thing, we're walking up the stairs, and all we heard was bang, bang, bang. Fucking a hammer. So when I turned the corner, Marty McDonald hid the fucking, he had a tool bag. Don't know where he got his tool bag from. It's full of tools, spanners, hammers, fucking you name it, screwdrivers and stuff. He took all the skirtings off the door. He took the whole door lock off. So everything was off. So we turned the corner and he's standing there in his boxers and we're like, Matty, fuck you doing? And he's like, try to get my fucking room. And Kai was like, aye, name better with these, with the keys. So he had his keys in his hand. So we couldn't get in because he dismantled the door that much. He couldn't even use a key by this point.
Oh my god.
So we end up being fucking take on and off. He kicked down the door and then we get in. Well, you can imagine the complaint we got the next day. So I was in Burness.
That is unbelievable. And my last story, I actually remember this. Getting sent off against Bucket. Was that Dougie?
That was Dougie, aye. I was kind of at the point, I was kind of like, that's me done now. Like, so fucking, it was, I was right back at the time, and Sean Webb, do you remember Sean Webb?
Yeah, the centre-half.
The centre-half. So he was with us at the time, and he was a captain, right?
Good player, wasn't he?
He was a good player, aye. He was a really block. He's like County, Shamrock Rovers, and Fleetwood and stuff. He was really block. He came in. And he fucking, Chris Young used to turn him for like the first 5 minutes and I think they scored off it. So I was like, fuck's sake, Webby kind of thing.
Yeah.
So the next thing, Chris Young is kind of great player.
Yeah, he is.
Fucking 5 minutes later, he does the same again, but he didn't score. So I shouted, can Ozzy D, and I'm like, Webby, fucking hell. I'm like, you just fucking rounded you 5 minutes ago. So he starts screaming back at me again. shut up, you little shit. So I'm like, fucking get on your game. So Dougie Baxter shouted the door at me. Fucking other side of the pitch started screaming back and forth at me. It was like, shut up, it's your fucking captain. Can keep a bit of respect and all this carry on. And I was like, tell me D's job and I'll give you respect. So anyway, fucking, it was like half an hour into the game. Chris Young just turns him again and scores. So I was like, nah, fuck this. I just went off my fucking head. I was like, for fuck's sake. I was like, fucking three times now. So that was it. Mental. We're arguing back and forth, me and him. Again, everybody's staring. Then Dougie starts shouting at me. And I was like, mate, gave it a heel spiel. Nae hand it. So the next thing, I seen him turn at the Dougie. And I'm arguing back and forth with Dougie. And I seen him, he turns into Dougie. And he went to make a sub. And he was, and I was thinking, he's one of the players' favourite Wiz. Can't honestly call my fat Wiz, but they told me before, they're like, I was fucking shiting. I was shiting coming on for you. And I was like, oh, fuck, what was it? I can't have mine, right? They came on and they're like, oh, no, fuck, he's here again. So I see it and he's like, right, off. And I was like, fucking off. So I know why I went off my head and fucking kind of was a long story, but squared up to him at the dugout and stuff. And then we went in. So then I took my top off. I shouldn't have done this. I felt I'd regret this part. I didn't really regret the argument with him because it was totally uncalled for at the time. And I thought, I've got a point here. And then but I took my top off and I threw it. But the game is obviously getting televised, was it? So as I took my top off and I threw it, Lindsay ended up walking over.
I just remember seeing Lindsay trotting forward for this. Yeah.
Obviously, having Bucky fans, that gave me some stick.
Yeah, Bucky fans are lethal at the best of times.
Mental.
You must have got a stinky, did you?
Oh, got a wild eye. They were laughing and fucking shouting, but I loved those kind of grounds.
Do you like that?
Oh, I loved it. See, like a Bucky, Brock, I love them games.
We'll touch on it before we do teammates.
Yeah.
Pollock away this year.
Cool.
You, me, Kyle Dallin got it fucking stinking.
Oh, wow. For 90 minutes, I was, honestly, you name it.
You're not going to call Voldemort?
I'm Voldemort. I couldn't believe it, man. Sex offender, paedophile. I was thinking, fucking hell, they made some songs with me. They were that good. We went on a night out and the players were all singing.
We were singing it.
I was thinking, like, this has got to stop, Ken.
Was that one of the worst you've seen, like, the most you've got to thinking?
Definitely. Easy.
I want a half time to warm up the subs, but I was getting it. I got it for 50 minutes straight, man.
Wild.
Horrible.
They were, I've never had shit like that in my life.
I got called James Corden from Wish.
Fucking hell!
I was absolutely gutted for the rest of the night. Right, just to finish off, I've never done this before on the podcast. I've done something similar, but we're going to do teammates, but we're just going to do the current squad because I know a lot of them are listening. Best technically?
Best technically. There's a few good technical players as well. Can you?
Hale fancies himself.
Oh, Hale's scared.
Hale fancies it.
Guess I mean, he's still got a thing on him, and that's what the problem is. It's a tough one, but I mean, Callum Love, one for Dundee, I think he's quite,
I think he'll make it.
I think he'll do, I think he's got a good chance, I really do. But best technical player, I would probably say Lyle Booth. I think he's fucking on a different level. Yeah. Like
Joker,
this is a tough one, Joker.
I would say this would
need to be a joint one. This,
yeah,
I would say Gus and Brody,
yeah, James Connolly's a rascal as well.
Them two are never fucking getting a break, like, and they're on to everything. So, because they bounce off each other,
yeah, they do.
Gus and Brody, so I'd go with them two for a joker, yeah.
Hard man,
fuck.
If we got one, I don't know if we do.
But it's Huntley. hard man. I'll go with like a hard man on a pitch.
Yeah.
And I would like Heslop's got a right fucking fierce.
I like Heslop.
In fact, and he's got half a park, and I can't like he's a young loon. Heslop, Zanz is absolute nails. I would hate to play against Zanz, and I'll go with James.
Have you ever played against Zanz?
Kid swimming, like I have played against Sands, but he's I've been on the other side, kind of never been up against him.
Yeah.
Because he'd been like right back with Keith and he was at Vale and stuff, so I never like came directly up against Sands, but I always knew who he was and stuff, but I'll probably go like Zahn's James and Heslop, I'd probably say.
James, he fancies it. He's good though. He really does the role well, to be fair.
Aye, he's a good couple of penalties and arse. He can't get a miss.
Best answer in the night out.
Ooh, Groover.
I've heard you fancy it, like.
Oh, fuck, you don't want to see me dancing. Gus, I'll go with Gus. He's a Groover, aye.
Who out of the current team do you reckon will be a gaffer?
Nae much, but Coco.
Yeah.
Coco, can I see? Coco, yeah.
Zanz?
I think he'd be similar to me.
Coaching.
I didn't think he would, the management kind of thing would be for him.
Yeah.
But I think the coaching would.
Yeah. Quickest?
Quickest? Garth Ellison.
Bit frightening, is it?
Unbelievable. Over, I mean, even. He's got lightning pace for the word go, but even over like 30, 40 yards, rapid, absolutely rapid.
You'll be able to give us the inside scoop of this because we're obviously not in the group. Who gets the most fines?
Hunt.
Wait this.
Fucking never there on time. Honestly, then I can't how he gets away with it. And I sometimes stalls in like half an hour. I've been deemed a PT again.
What things about me is he turns up half an hour late and then he goes and does a 20-minute
warm-up. And then he goes on a pitch in a certain and walks some things in the top corner. So you've got to get to the lad, really.
Biggest booze hound?
Apart from myself.
Apart from you. You've got that wrapped up to yourself.
James and Gus.
Yeah.
Them two would say they're good for getting the boys out.
Would you reckon, is this a good group in terms of like the nights out and stuff like that? Yeah.
Absolutely. The group of lads we've got just now, honestly. And I'm not just saying it because I'm there just now, but it's very close to like the ones when I had done that a few years ago. What a great bunch of boys it is.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, there's no egos.
No.
In Ken Swimming, a lot of them are they're top lads. They really are. Out with football, they're just fucking genuine lads. They are.
Yeah.
A lot of respect for the boys.
Who's a teacher's pet?
Gaffer's
little.
This is a toughie, this, because I can't think of anybody to be teacher's pet, right?
I think there's a few, like.
Deez, you probably better give me a better thingy. But see, but I'll say it. I'll slow filming in the dark here, right? But then you can tell me if you think of that. Stilly's,
yeah.
He never does nothing wrong.
So, I think Gus and James are up there, like.
Oh, here, well, they're never off the phone either, are they? Tell you nah, Clarky gets us out of some fucking situations. Cause that man is fucking Dez door on a Saturday and he's fucking good as golden on Monday, so he must be some fucking ass licking on a Sunday.
And my last question, my favourite one, you can take it whatever way you want. Longest in the shower.
That's easy.
Michael Clark.
Michael Clark, he's got mate washing us.
Mate. Fucking love it. Thanks very much for coming on. I appreciate your time. And all the best when you go coaching. All the best.
Cheers. Good.
Nice one, pal. Cheers, buddy. Pal.